This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Mark Haney. Current U.S. economic statistics seem to point to an improving economy. Unemployment is down, home prices are up, yet many Americans say they're worried and wonder why their own financial situation is not getting any better. Marketplace has partnered with Edison Research to examine this disconnect between the official numbers and how people really feel about their economic prospects. Mark Haney recently spoke with Marketplace Washington Bureau Chief Dave Shaw about its latest survey findings.
Dave, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Oh, my pleasure.
If you were going to boil this survey down to maybe one word or one phrase that describes the mood that many people are feeling about their financial situations, what would that be?
Well, I think people are really, really anxious. I think that is the takeaway, the number one takeaway that we got from surveying Americans about how they felt about their financial situations. And so that shows up in questions where we asked if people felt anxious, and almost two-thirds said they were sometimes or frequently anxious about their financial situation. More than two out of every five said they felt stuck in their current financial situation. And then more than one out of every four, 28% of people in the survey said they were currently losing sleep.
Over
their financial situation. And what's interesting about that, too, is, you know, we can subdivide by a couple of different demographic categories. And so when you look at by income, one out of every six of people in the survey earning more than $100,000 was losing sleep. And so that's really, it really speaks to this idea that even folks who are on the high end of the income spectrum are still feeling these financial pressures.
How was the poll conducted?
So we worked with a company called Edison Research, which is based in New Jersey. You may know them as the folks who do the exit polling on election night. And so they're a very, you know, a great firm, and they've been a pleasure to work with. And so what we did with them is we came up with about 50 or so questions. It's a 15-minute survey. We ended up surveying slightly more than 1,000. It was 1,016 people. And it's a combination of telephone calls, both landline and cell phone, and online responses. And so we put that together, and then, you know, using their expertise, sort of, you know, did the math to make sure that the sample that we had was representative of the broader country.
So you had over 1,000 people, so you feel like you had a pretty good representation of a lot of different people and demographics and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and so, you know, on that full 1,000, you know, that gets us to a margin of error of 3%. So, you know, we feel confident about our ability to draw some conclusions. And, you know, this is not a horse race poll. We didn't ask folks who they intended to vote for in the 2016 election or anything like that. What we're trying to do is gauge the economic mood. And the reason behind this is, you know, every day, every month on Marketplace, we are talking about the macro economy, and we're awash in numbers to describe, you know, what's happening in the big picture economy. And there's always this disconnect, though, between the improvements in the unemployment rate, improvements in the housing market, these sort of ideas that are writ large, and then when you go and talk to people individually about their economic situation, you know, you don't get that same sense that, we're full, you know, the American economy has fully recovered from the recession of a number of years back.
And I'm still amazed, Dave, that you found so many people who are losing sleep over their financial situation. I mean, that just amazes me.
Yeah, and so we took of the 50 or so questions that are in the survey, we took people's answers to 12 of them, and we put them together into what we call the Economic Anxiety Index, which is basically a score, 0 to 100. And based on how stressed out you are on a couple of questions about your financial situation, your job security, and, you know, whether you're worried about paying your bills every month, we're able to, you know, spit out a number that describes the economic mood. So the overall figure on that scale of 0 to 100 is 31, and we'll be able to compare that as we do this survey in the future, so we'll be able to gauge the changes in the overall mood. We can also use that number to compare subgroups, and so one interesting thing that we found is, you know, there are plenty of divides that we often talk about when it comes to the American economy, so, you know, haves, have-nots, the 1%, the 99%. There's a big divide between the stress level that people earning a salary feel versus the stress level that people who are paid hourly feel. Hourly workers tend to be much more stressed out. They're more worried about paying their bills every month. They're more likely to be losing sleep over their financial situation.
So tell me, you're talking about the hourly versus salaried. What were some of the other demographic differences that you found as you were doing this poll?
Well, one interesting thing, and this is sort of a chicken and the egg question, is that renters, people who rent, tend to have more financial stress than folks who have mortgages. So maybe this stands to reason. Folks have mortgages because they have the financial security to take out such a big financial commitment. But when we ask people about, you know, are you worried about paying your bills each month? Folks who pay rent every month are much more worried about making that housing payment than folks who are who have a mortgage. And so there are these interesting sort of telling divides. And this is, you know, it's borne out when we go and talk with the individuals who are, you know, behind the survey. There was one fellow who we talked to who said, you know, he's like, my company didn't believe in raises. And he said that jokingly, but it had been so long for him since he had gotten a raise. And I think that really speaks to the challenge in the current economy for a lot of people, which is, yeah, the macroeconomic figures look good, but in terms of your personal financial situation, are you making more money than you were a year ago? Do you think you're going to get a raise in the next year? People are not feeling that recovery in a personal way.
I want to go back to something you said earlier about doing an anxiety index based on this on a more regular basis. So is this is this going to be kind of the opposite of the consumer confidence index that we hear about so often?
Right. You know, that's sort of how we intend it. And so, you know, we did this survey for the first time, and we intend to do it three more times between now and the 2016 election. And then I hope to, you know, that we'll continue doing it beyond that. And what this does is this economic anxiety index gives us a trackable number so that we can figure out, you know, what is on people's minds and what is motivating them. And so this reporting, this polling is going to underlie our election reporting. You know, we are not going to be doing a lot of horse race stuff. You know, we will be talking about the issues on Marketplace, you know, to the extent that the candidates are talking about them. And what we'll do is we'll try to get a sense of what is motivating Americans as they figure out who they want to vote for and how those fears, those economic fears, are going to play in the 2016 election.
Well, this is about people and how they're feeling about the economy. So tell me about some of the people that were interviewed for this poll.
So, you know, I mentioned the individual who said he hadn't had a raise in a long time.
Had a raise in quite some time.
And, yeah. And so there's many stories like that. We talked with a postal worker who is from New York State, who was describing, you know, the challenge in being an hourly employee and not being able to know for certain, you know, how much money was coming in month to month. And, you know, this individual was hoping to catch on in sort of the permanent salaried you know, version of his job. And so there's all of these stories about this, you know, how a person's, you know, raises and how a person's, you know, personal financial situation, you know, is feeding into this stress. And we also talked with folks who are nearing retirement, and they are feeling very stuck. There was a woman who said, you know, I would really like to retire. I'm 62. For the first time since I started working when I was much, much younger, I just don't want to work anymore, but I can't do it yet. And it's on my mind every day. And that's the sort of anxiety that, you know, it does bleed in, and it does affect, for example, you know, whether you can sleep through the night.
You were mentioning earlier about paying monthly bills. Just how much does the whole monthly bill situation contribute to people's economic anxiety when you take a look at these poll numbers?
Yeah, so, you know, we asked about a bunch of different categories. So, you know, your monthly bills, things like a car payment, student loans, and then we asked about savings for things that are important, retirement, savings for children's education, the ability to handle an unexpected medical bill. And those categories are a big part of this economic anxiety index that we came up with. I mentioned student loans. There was an interesting finding that we had. So we asked folks who had student loans and were paying them back if they felt like the debt was worth it for the education. And almost 2 in 5 said no, it wasn't worth the debt. I know. And so that really speaks to one of the big drivers of financial stress, which is, you know, folks with you know, astronomical student loan bills who are coming out into, or who have come out into a soft economy where, you know, the wages are not, they're not sort of growing in a way that will allow them to pay back that education debt.
Yeah, unemployment's dropped to 5.1%. What did the poll show about how people are feeling about jobs and employment? So are they comforted at all by that?
Yeah, so, you know, we talked about, we asked, you know, are you worried about losing your job in the next 12 months? And, you know, what's interesting about it is when you compare the subgroups, right, people who are earning, say, $100,000 or more are much, much less worried about losing their job. They're much more likely to have gotten a raise in the past 12 months. And then when you ask prospectively, if you did lose your job, do you think you could find one in the next 6 months? You see those similar splits. The folks who are on the higher end of the income spectrum are generally more confident that they'll be able to find a job in short order. And it's just it's a really fascinating divide. And you start to see that, you know, the income inequality that we often talk about played out on sort of an individual level.
Did you come across anything that really surprised you in this poll?
Well, you know, the student loan question, I think, was surprising. And I think that the idea of how many people were losing sleep over their financial situation was surprising. And then one thing, you know, we asked a question about the government's role in providing what we often call the social safety net. So this is unemployment insurance, job training, college assistance for low and middle income Americans. And what was interesting about it is that, you know, those concepts had very broad support, and the support was broad among both Democrats and Republicans. So, you know, the question there then is, you know, there is support for these programs in the aggregate. The question is, how do you figure out how much to pay for those, and what sacrifices and other things do you not pay for in order to pay for the social safety net?
So the real issue is in the details, not so much in whether people agree on this or not.
It's the devil in the details, yeah. Exactly. That's exactly right.
Exactly. No,
there was one interesting point where one of our reporters was you know, sort of investigating this social safety net question. And, you know, the idea is that after the recession, people, you know, you've seen a change in attitudes as people think, you know, but for the grace of God, there go I, in terms of needing some sort of safety net, whether it's, you know, from family or friends or from the government, based on a job loss or, you know, an inability to pay a mortgage and so on and so forth.
Sounds like you covered quite a bit of ground in this poll, Dave. Is there anything that you didn't get to cover that you would have liked to have covered in it?
Well, I don't want to tip our hand too much, but there are a couple of different areas that we want to investigate. And like I said, we're doing this poll a few more times between now and the election. And you know, I think there are plenty of issues. You know, I think housing and the housing recovery, I think I'd love to get into more. And people's participation in the workforce is a big issue that I think we'll get into more. So yeah, there's so much more to cover, and I'm excited to have the opportunity to do it.
So much more to cover and just not enough time to do all of it. You think you'll continue this beyond the 2016 election?
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, we've invested a lot of energy into this, you know, the creation of this economic anxiety index. And I think it's a really useful tool because it helps describe in a single number the way that people are feeling. And I think the ability to keep a tab on it will be really useful.
Now, is there a silver lining to this poll data? I mean, a lot of this is about people's anxieties and fears and all the trepidation about their economic situations. But when you were doing this, did you find that there's something out there that's on the positive side?
Yeah, you know, you never want to underestimate the ability for people to have sort of opposing viewpoints at the same time. So that there's definitely, you know, anxiety, insecurity, a sense of being stuck. But there's also a very strong sense that hard work will get you ahead. Hard work being more important than luck in advancing your financial situation. Almost 80% of people said, no, hard work is the more important of those two. And, you know, there's certainly anxiety, among young people about the current economy. However, folks who were in their late 20s and early 30s were the most likely to say that the American dream was alive and well. And so you have this, this sense of optimism and a sense of if I work hard, I will get ahead. And that's really telling. And I think is an important thing to keep in mind when we discuss sort of the poll results in the aggregate.
Yeah, talking about one's personal financial situation, that's always difficult. People are they're reluctant to open up about their financial situations, and I just wondered if there was any in putting this together, if it was difficult to get people to open up, and how you got them to open up about their situations.
Well, you know, the crux of our reporting is to get people to just tell us what's on their minds, right? And so, you know, we asked as part of the poll, we said, would you be okay if a reporter contacted you later? And about a quarter of the people said yes, and we were in touch with many of those folks. And I think, you know, people understand that these are worries that are shared, you know, across all the demographics. And I think, you know, I've often found that once you get somebody talking, they're very happy to share a lot of the details and a lot of the struggles that they have.
How much is this economic anxiety going to play out as an issue in the presidential election and even into the races for the House and the Senate that they're coming up next year?
I think you're going to see I think you'll see economic concerns being a driver of what people are thinking about and what people are talking about. You know, there's a free trade deal that is under consideration now in the Congress, and that gives rise to a lot of, you know, talk and concerns about what free trade means for America. The trade deal encompasses 12 countries, including the U.S. in the Pacific region. And so I think you'll see that. And I think, you know, if you look at what's been happening so far in this presidential election cycle, you're seeing a lot of angst and a lot of anger that is aimed at the establishment. And I think that some of these figures that we found in our poll about how anxious people are feeling go a long way toward explaining what people are feeling and why the outsiders seem to be doing so well in this at least in this early going of the election.
But the bottom line is, you discover there's a despite what the official numbers might be saying about the economy, there's still a lot of anxiety among people, individuals.
Yeah, and that's what we really want to try to do with this poll and with our subsequent reporting, is to take a step back from those macroeconomic numbers, the jobless rate and the housing market and all those things, and talk to individual people about how they are experiencing the economy right now, what it means for their household budget and what it means for their businesses and what it means for their families and so on.
Do you think that's what makes this economic anxiety index different from a lot of the other economic indicators that are floating around out there?
Yeah, it's very personal. And I think that's how we can really add something to the conversation about the American economy and about the upcoming election.
Dave, thank you very much for joining me this afternoon.
Oh, my pleasure.
Marketplace Washington Bureau Chief Dave Shaw, who spoke with Mark Haney last week about Americans concerned over their economic situations. During the interview, Mark mentioned the unemployment rate was at 5.1%. Since then, that rate has dropped to 5%. You can find a link to more information on the Marketplace Consumer Anxiety Survey on our website, wvxu.org. And you can hear Marketplace weekdays on 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our program are available at WVXU.org. Today's program was produced by Pete Reitmeier. Our assistant producer is Belinda Kai. The technical director, Rick Andres. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next on 91.7 WVXU.